Welcome to Mighty Parenting, a community where we help you raise teens and parent 20-somethings so they can become happy, successful, and emotionally healthy adults. I'm Sandy Fowler, stress relief coach, emotional wellness speaker, host of the Mighty Parenting podcast, and co-founder of MightyParenting.com. And Mighty Parenting is here for you guys. We are trying to bring you just information that you need without overwhelming you, but helping you stay on track, taking care of yourself, taking care of your families, and being the best parent that you can be, getting that mighty parenting attitude going. So today I was planning an interview with Dr. Anthony Rao. He is the author of The Power of Agency. And as we were chatting before the interview, which is scheduled to air like later this summer, we were talking and he has some great insights for all of us as parents during the COVID crisis and during this time where we are home. And depending where you are in the country and the state of that, I am in Michigan, so we have been in our house for a couple of weeks now, other than someone going grocery shopping. And there are definitely challenges involved in being there. So we decided to pivot a little bit, and we're going to give you guys a short, quick interview here on some of the things that you need. And then we're going to give you an in-depth on the power of agency coming up later, probably this summer. If you listen to today's interview and you're like, oh my gosh, I have to know more right now, pop me an email. Just go to mightyparenting.com and contact me there, or email directly to connect@mightyparenting.com, and we'll get you in early so we can make sure you have what you need when you need it. So we have, as I said, Dr. Anthony Rao with us today, and he is a cognitive behavioral therapist who worked as a pediatric psychologist at Boston Children's Hospital for over 20 years. He has been an instructor at Harvard Medical School and has run a specialized private practice since 1998. He is also a co-author of the new book, The Power of Agency, The 7 Principles to Conquer Obstacles, Make Effective Decisions, and Create a Life on Your Own Terms. So, Dr. Rao, welcome to Mighty Parenting.
Sandy, thank you so much. And it's an absolute pleasure to get this opportunity during these times to speak to all your listeners. And if you want, I can just get you up to date on what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing in the greater parent community, if you will, both sort of in the greater Boston area where I am, but also nationally. We've been in touch with lots of business leaders. My co-author works in that realm, speaking to them and with webinars. And we've also talked with epidemiologists. And anyways, I think it's really important that the first thing is that parents cut themselves a serious break. You have to start there. Look, right now, we're not exactly sure how we're supposed to behave. You're not exactly sure if whether or not all the ways in which you've been a parent apply in real time as things change day to day, sometimes hour per hour. And recognize that you're in a very serious time of adaptation. So are your kids, but it's really affecting you a lot more. I know that they wear their emotions on their sleeves, but what I'm hearing from so many parents is that their teens and their 20-somethings, and particularly the ones that have had to come home from school early, they may be displaying all sorts of emotion, but it's us, sort of the adult, the teacher, the parent, the coach, it's up to us to take care of ourselves first. And it's okay. It's okay to just let go of a lot of the expectations that you've been using that have led to really good parenting. All of the great advice you've gotten over the years. What should I do? What have I just heard? What's a best practice? Because I think this is a time when we're in adjustment and we're adapting. And you're not going to be able to adapt that easily. This isn't typical.
As you were talking about, said, let go of a lot of these expectations about what you should and shouldn't do and all of that. And so I'm curious if during a time like this, there really is kind of a, I don't want to say a different parenting style, because at Mighty Parenting, the main thing that we promote is being present, listening well without judgment. you know, truly opening those lines of communication. And yet, again, at a time like this, I kind of feel like with our kids wearing so many feelings on their sleeve, and yes, there's a lot going on, but there's also a lot going on for us. I feel like trying to be fully present in the house all the time and just listening all the time like that can take a big emotional toll on us as parents. So I kind of feel like we need to be able to pivot there a little bit, and we need to maybe work more on drawing boundaries for ourselves is kind of what I was leaning toward. But I'd love to know your thoughts on that, or if you have a different suggestion, because I know things have gotten, you know, some days are great and I've had some amazing things happen here in the Fowler household, and some days are just like, oh my gosh, you asked when we started. So are you hanging on? And I'm like, well, yesterday I feel like I just let go. I couldn't hang on anymore. And today I feel good.
Oh, that's great. That's good. Because take it when we can get it, right? Yeah, Sandy, I would say I really love the way you put your finger on the idea of being more present. And I want parents not to feel that they have pressure on them or expectations. Particularly liked when you said, you know, what's my natural style of parenting? I want people to go back to what feels right, what's intuitive, what is more natural, because that's the one that's going to work the best during these times. Versus, let's face it, we're in a super high achieving world, and we were on quite a treadmill until this forced us to slow down. And hopefully we can start to calm down and reflect and use what time we have all together in a really more positive way and being more present. And that does first start with letting go of some of that achievement. So the first thing I'm asking people to do is, and I was interviewed a couple of weeks ago for one of the local papers, is, well, how should parents be handling all the education? They're out of schools and they're all worried about, you know, keeping up. I was one of the first in the community to say, you know what? School's done. School's out. It's over. And lo and behold, they kept changing the date of when kids would be coming back. And, you know, the schools, and my heart goes out to the teachers right now too. It, you know, they're trying to scramble and look at the technology and figure out what can we reasonably assume would work for, you know, getting kids, you know, through this school year. And most of it just came out as busy work or reviewing of homework. And so they're trying to figure this new normal out. In the interim, you know, if an hour or two is done through some sort of online learning, once it's up and running, you know, that's great. I think what's most important during a pandemic is that everyone stay as safe and healthy as possible. You know, the safety is the social distancing, right? We could talk a little bit about that and the challenge with teens and 20-somethings. But health, sleep, I can't tell you how many parents are saying, you know, I have these kids back from school, or the teens now are, you know, they're sleeping till 12 or 1, they're up till 2 or 3. And my initial reaction shocks them, which is let them sleep. Even if they're keeping a crazy schedule, it really is the real schedule that late teens and 20-somethings naturally have. They're supposed to be sleeping into the later morning hours, sometimes very early afternoon. The more sleep they get, the more that their immune system will be able to be stronger and stronger. So that's number one. Number two, outdoors as much as possible. You know, when we are outside, you'll notice, particularly if you're in a green space, you're around some trees, we're listening to the birds now, are very active here in Boston. They're back because spring has come. And your mind immediately calms. Your breathing begins to slow down. And that adrenaline, that cortisol, that stress hormone that's left in the wake of adrenaline that really can do our immune system damage begins to dissipate. So I want more outdoor time. Even if the weather isn't wonderful, getting natural light will set our biological clocks. We'll relax more in nature. It's really the place in which our brain feels most comfortable. We'll be more in motion and movement and not letting that adrenaline just sort of pile up because we're watching screens and getting scary news. So that's sort of mission number one is take that pressure off yourself, parents, to think that this is a time when we have to keep up with, you know, grades and achievement.
And it's interesting from that point because for a time we homeschooled our kids. So the whole school thing from that standpoint, we learned. that there isn't one right or wrong thing. Kids can learn from so many things. And one of the things that I've been talking with parents about is embracing this as a time to let our kids learn other things, starting with our values and how we think that we should behave, how we would want our kids to behave in a situation like this. And you can have conversations with them about that responsibility, as well as wellness. How can we take care of ourselves? What do we need to do to stay healthy and stay well in general? Because what I heard you saying, Tony, was, hey, what we need to do is stay just generally healthy and let our immune systems be strong. So that's another learning opportunity. And yeah, schools, it's going to get taken care of. This is a worldwide event, and your child is not going to get left behind as the only kid who didn't finish school this year. That's all going to be taken care of at a government level. So I love your advice about letting go of those things and letting go of that pressure. The other thought I had is when you talked about letting the kids sleep their own sleep schedule, it's a built-in way too for us to have some time to ourselves. A lot of parents are trying to work from home. And I know that's my biggest challenge, is trying to get my work done with all these people in my house. I always work from home, but I don't always have all these people in my house when I do it. So having that morning time, if they sleep till noon or whatever, that's a time that we can embrace as ours, whether it's to do work or to take care of things we need to take care of around the house, or whether it's to take care of ourselves with whatever it is that we do, exercise, meditation, any of those practices. So I love that idea, but I want to hear more about dealing with some of the challenges, like the social distancing challenge with teens, because it is hard. It is very hard for them to be away from friends, and they don't have that fully developed prefrontal cortex to fully understand why this can be important. So what do you see happening in that realm, and what can we do to keep our kids safe?
Great, great question. And interestingly, because I do connect with so many families, so many kids, and have over the years, that, you know, you could put us into sort of that one of two categories of more of an introvert to themselves, you know, okay with being behind screens or reading books or hanging out, in fact, a little bit socially shy and really get sort of stressed around too many people, versus I've got to get out there. What am I missing? Heavy on social media. I will just die if I don't see my friends. It's killing me type of kid. You can almost put kids into one of two buckets, if you will. So the kids whose parents have been worried about them not socializing enough are having an easier time with this. In fact, one young man the other day told me, he said, you know, I don't feel as guilty anymore that I have to be home as much. I'm actually less stressed. Another one came back from college and he was struggling there because he was really smart. He was an athlete. But he was socially shy, and it was a tough first semester as a freshman. Thrilled to be back, and he can regroup, grow, develop a little bit more, figure a new model out for himself. So those kids are actually doing pretty well. Actually, they're used to being indoors and entertaining themselves. It's those other kids that just really need that connection. You know, we can use more Zoom and Skype, those types of media to connect them. And I would say cue your kids. Hey, if you see them on the bed and they're just sort of scrolling through, you know, more texts and group chats and things, or Instagrams, TikTok, just say, hey, why don't you select one or two and see if you can do it a FaceTime. Like, I want you to be looking at them, talk with them, find out what's going on. Instead, there's this sort of incessant scrolling through screens and getting all this stimulation, but it's not really social. So the parent can cue their teens and 20-somethings to, hey, why don't you use this technology this way? Let's get the Zoom accounts up. Let's see if we can actually, if necessary, get a group Zoom up, and let's set this up regularly for you. I do think this might be the new normal. We're looking at, you know, possibly several months of this on and off, maybe longer. Depends. We just don't know. The epidemiologists will and the scientists will guide us. But this may be what we have to do to substitute those real face-to-face. I can see your eyes. I can see your movements. I can really appreciate your voice, tone, intonations. I can see all those expressions through your face that are meaningful for me. I can't get that when it's, you know, a simpler, quicker, particularly text, flat kind of thing. Then I was speaking to another young woman who was saying, this was interesting. She was, 17, and she said, you know, we made a decision. My parents and I sat down and we, you know, and I miss my friends, but we decided, look, there's probably one friend that we feel is very, very safe to be very close to. And there may be a best friend for which, if you can, you can start with social distancing, possibly if the families are comfortable, have that one friend be a connector where the two of you can spend time outdoors only, not indoors, and you try to stay apart so that in many ways you can get out into the world, but you have your person with you. Now, if you're skateboarding or if you're, you know, biking or, you know, possibly hiking too, you can sort of do this quite naturally, be apart from people, but that these teens are feeling better if they have one best buddy or friend. And I know that's tough because mostly they like being in a large group. But I think parents have to be extremely tough on this, but sort of coach them through it. I would also say parents really understand how hard this is for them. Think back to what it was like, particularly if you were a social person when you were a young person, maybe you still are. How hard this is. It is in many ways your whole world. It's that developmental era where the social and emotional parts of you are just blossoming. So respect that. But again, we can use the technology to have more face-to-face contact and also maybe have a very narrow band, maybe one person identified as like a best buddy that we can do hopefully around 6 feet apart, not violate that, and have them do more physical activity outdoors.
I was actually really relieved to hear you say that because that's what we did with I have one daughter who is great with this. She's like, just leave me in my room. People leave me alone. I'm good. I got books. I got things I want to sort out. I'm fine. My other one is having a really hard time. And especially because she'd done a study abroad and we're incredibly grateful she was able to finish it before all of this even hit. But it also means she hadn't seen her friends in a long time. And she came home to, you know, you gotta stay home and you can't go see people for a couple of weeks because she was in France. And right when she left, right after that, things heated up there. So we're like, you have to stay home. And then it was, oh, now everybody has to stay home. So we did that. We said, all right, you know, after she was home she'd been home for 3 or 4 weeks and she was having a tough time. We had her meet with one friend outside, just riding bikes or whatever, keeping that distance in the neighborhood. And they still didn't do it every day. But what I was wondering about is, you know, I have girls and they tend to be more talk oriented. And while I know all kids are different, in general, boys and men tend to be more activity oriented for their socializing. Is that something you've found to be true, that maybe in a sense more boys are having an even harder time with this than our girls? And is there anything else that we could do to help them out with that?
I feel, fortunate to be able to answer that question. My first book was called The Way of Boys, about promoting the social and emotional development of young boys. So I've been known as a boy and a young man expert, in their development and the normal paths for which they have to move to become really, really good men and adults. And your description is right on. And it can feel a little uncomfortable because, right, there are a lot of young boys and men who they're going to be more emotional. In fact, I'm one of them, more emotional, need to be connected more with people, more helping, more nurturing. But yes, in general, boys, young men, certainly men, far more activity oriented, less use of words and face-to-face social connections. By the way, if you're parents out there that are struggling with some of their young men, you don't need to sit them down and have them across from you or make a lot of eye contact. What I would suggest is you do what I call, like parallel play, like back in the sandbox. You sit side by side, get in the car, which by the way is really safe, right? Go take a ride and just let the time go by. Let long silences happen. And then I ask parents, particularly who want to try to get closer to their boys and young men, is just talk more about yourself and just share sort of it, but don't make it a lesson. and step out of the parenting role, particularly as your son is becoming sort of in the 14, 15 range, maybe even the 13, 14 range. They really appreciate this. And then let some time or silence go by. And they're going to talk at some point. It may be about something peripheral, but just try to have a parallel conversation where it's really like two good friends, two people who care about each other, and move out of that role of I have to try to get you to do this or do that. Now, during this pandemic, it seems like, again, the boys are having an easier time because they can get out there and they can take their soccer ball and they can go up to a field if the field is open, it depends on the town and the city, or they can take their basketball out and just maybe just do something where they're just themselves, or they go out, you know, with someone to just kick the ball between each other, but safely. So there are opportunities for to do them, but again, biking, hiking, running, like all of those more outdoor types of activities, are in many ways the natural go-to for a lot of these young men to begin with.
So even though it's not with friends, getting out with your son to do some more physical things or opening up indoor physical activities, even working out side by side and things would help them through this. And then allow them to be calmer, especially with all that testosterone running through. My understanding from doing interviews is that they need to be more physical, especially when that starts coursing through or when they're feeling emotions from it, that they need a physical outlet.
That's right. If you find that, you know, your son is more snippy than usual or bites back, or we tend to say, oh, maybe they're hungry or maybe they're sleep deprived. And those things may be true, but it may be evidence, particularly as they're past middle school and starting early high school, that testosterone is building up in their system. It may not also show itself externally. Those changes in the body may not be taking place until after, right? The hormonal shifts take place internally, and then the brain chemistry changes. And so you may be seeing that. So right to your point, physical activity is incredibly important for boys and young men. Boys by nature move more. In other words, there's studies that they move more in utero. There's studies that they move more from sort of birth onward, generally speaking, than girls, young women and women. And again, are less likely to use language to process emotion or to share emotion or to communicate, and use more like nonverbal ways. So absolutely. So getting out with them, working out, a lot of people are thinking about getting an area of their house or garage or back deck if they have one, which is sort of an area they can maybe put set up a punching bag or get some yoga mats down, or, you know, just do something where you can begin to process that. But there are a lot of things you can do without equipment. You know, some of the most basic, most healthy exercises and calisthenics and push-ups and all those, anyone can go online and find those. Those are great. And if your son's already involved in some athletics, or coaches have probably been a good resource for those types of things.
And I'll add to the show notes, in addition to both your books, The Power of Agency and The Way of Boys, I will add to the show notes a link to a program we used to use. I don't know if it's free or not, but it was called Warrior X Fit. And we were introduced to it when my daughter was in Taekwondo. And we had a lot of fun with it. It's quick and challenging, and my whole family loved it. And the guys from her school also loved it. So we'll put that on there. Also, Mighty Parents. On the Mighty Parenting Facebook page, as I see things online that you can do from home, I'm throwing up links. Yeah, there are a lot of virtual tours, but there are also things like websites where you can actually play board games with people who, virtually you can play board games, not just electronic games and things. So go ahead and check that out. And if you're not in Facebook and you have something you're looking for, again, pop me an email, connect@mightyparenting.com. Do what I can to get those links to you or to support you. Or also, if you've enjoyed listening to Dr. Rao in today's interview, if you can't wait for his next one, let me know and we'll get you that. But in the meantime, Tony, where can people find you online?
Start with Power of Agency, one word, powerofagency.com. Also, Anthony Rao, just my name, AnthonyRao.com. Both of those will get you to lots of information. They can learn more about my books. But start with Power of Agency. You know, even when in this short interview, we've already touched upon two or three of the prominent practices. You can go on that website and you can download printable versions of like what this simple model looks like, seven principles, and get your feet wet. And it's not that complex, and it makes a lot of sense. And the first three of the principles are the ones I want people, particularly during this pandemic, to be focusing on to keep their health well, to think about how they socialize, to keep movement going. And one which we haven't yet had an opportunity to talk about, and will, I'm sure, in the next interview, is about how to be able to keep your head clear with all the stimulation and news coming into the house and all the misinformation, which really charges up our emotional systems and, believe it or not, altogether decreases our immunology, which we need top right now to be able to fight and stay healthy.
Yeah, and keep tuning in and go back and check out old episodes, because we've touched on some of those. We have a couple of episodes that we have put out on Mighty Parenting, dealing with social distancing and stress relief, and we have some more coming that deal with these topics, not just in terms of now, but for always, and definitely apply to this time. So thank you, Tony, so much for joining us. I think this has been really helpful, kind of a nice touching base for parents and some guidance on our parenting strategies during this crazy time.
Great. Thank you for having me, Sandy. Stay well and healthy.
Mighty Parents, thank you for being here. If you enjoyed this podcast, then please rate, review, and share it. If you have a friend who is not podcast savvy, just go to mightyparenting.com podcast page, and in the search bar, put up the episode, put, you know, Dr. Anthony Rao up there, and you will get a link to this, and you can send them a link and they can listen right there, so they don't have to be podcast savvy and already have a player on their phone. And remember that we also have our free email series for you on how to talk to your teen over at mightyparenting.com. So grab that. And remember, you are a mighty parent. You got this. And I will see you next week.